Welcome to Loud House Podcast, episode 8. I'm your main host, Dominic, and I have my co-host with me, Xander.
What up?
And our special guest today, Matthew Medellin.
Yeah, you only butchered it like 3 times, but yes. Medellin for the listeners, Medellin. I've heard every combination of that name.
Medellin.
Medellin, Majin.
Majin?
Medallion, whatever. Right? I've heard everything. It's fine.
Oh, did they mess it up in your graduation?
No. My graduation, I'll shed some light on my niece, because I told you what happened to her. Well, first, my niece, Loraya Rose, got her last name butchered completely. They said Loraya Reyes, and I thought that was awful, but my assistant principal, Mr. Lester, was the best out there before our administration went to shit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But he went, and throughout my senior year, starting the January of the second semester, he would go out to our homerooms, mm-hmm. when we had a homeroom day or something, mm-hmm. and he would go into our classes, or maybe just random classes that we're sitting in, say, hey, how do you pronounce your last name? And he would do that to everybody, almost every senior. Oh. He did it right before graduation.
Yeah.
And he wrote notes, and he had it all down, and he made his list right before the graduation. He did the entire graduation. Nobody helped him. And he was solid. Yeah, he said my name. I said thank you, Mom, on the camera. And, yeah.
You don't want to know what they did for me?
Oh, yeah. What is it?
They walked up to me.
Did you say Flager?
Yeah, Flager.
But they said...
No, they said Flager.
Okay.
But you know what they did to me, right? They walked up to me and said, how do you pronounce your last name?
Oh.
That was it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they remembered it.
So the whole point of my graduation was to get it done as quickly as possible. So he had all the names. They had all of the diplomas ready to go. And if somebody else's name was called and it wasn't yours, you stayed there. And then they called your name, because that usually means somebody wasn't present. You
know? Okay.
Other than that.
So... you worked at Grizzafi Coffee with
me. Grizzafi Coffee, yeah.
Grizzafi Coffee. And I know we all have memory. You know, me and you have good memories from Grizzafi Coffee. But what was your favorite memory?
Favorite memory? It would have to be... I guess it would be different for you, because when you started working, I was already there.
Yeah.
And so you see that as your favorite memory, being the time that you barely started working there. So mm-hmm. that was my favorite time, when I barely started working there, about... Mm-hmm. almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I've
been working there for 3 years.
3 years, yeah. My favorite memory would have to be the biggest jobs when I first got there.
Mm.
So I think about 3 months in, I went to a $2 million wedding. Turkish wedding. It was the daughter of a oil tycoon here in Houston.
Really?
Oil tycoon, meaning people with like billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they had it at the Hilton Americas across from Discovery Green. We were in one of the ballrooms, and it was a whole new world. Like, they had decorations like never seen. They had every caterer there. They had 12 of us there. 12, wow. The entire company was there. Mm. We had 3 machines, and we had to learn how to make Turkish coffee.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is totally different. If you never had it, it's way different.
I bet, because we usually do it the regular espresso, use the espresso machines.
We had those too.
Coffee. But, I mean, I bet it's a different method for the Turkish coffee.
Yeah, right? It's a really different method. Can't remember how, but I know it's like a sludge. Like, they keep the coffee grind in the coffee, and they drink that, too.
Oh, okay.
So it's really strong, and never got the chance to try it myself, but I made it that day, and it was pretty cool.
I know y'all didn't really like Discovery Green. Which was my favorite part about the whole thing was Discovery Green.
Discovery Green was great for me first starting. And then it came into this routine of, you know, sitting there for hours at end. And, you know.
Dealing with the homeless.
My worst day, I would have to say, or I wouldn't say worst day, but it was an experience. And it's all experience. That's the great thing about working for Nick.
Yeah.
It's everything's experience.
Yeah.
Working for him, you'll learn things that you'll never have learned, you know, at a regular job working for Domino's, you know, flipping pizzas and shit.
Oh yeah.
It's way different. Your experience is like, it's great. I had a lot of business experience, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself talking to people easily.
Yeah.
But
Which I heard before when you started, you weren't really good at talking to people.
No,
you
know, I wasn't. Nick remembers exactly.
Yeah.
He remembers I was quiet, mm-hmm. kept to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did what I was asked. You know, that was easy for me.
Yeah.
But very quiet, couldn't talk to people, got what they ordered, got their money, that's it.
Mm.
You know, and it, done and done, you know. But a conversation starting was a whole new thing, and that didn't really start until I got into catering mm-hmm. by myself mm-hmm. with my truck. That's the whole reason why I bought a truck, was to put stuff in it and go cater. And that was summer of my senior year, so that's when it really started. I was catering once in a while on weekends when he asked me to, but you know, I didn't have a car, so it was really hard for my mom to, you know, drive me and stuff like that. She did it. I'm thankful she did it, but onto like that worst day, because I haven't told you about that yet. That worst day, it had to be the time that we were trying to close up, 30 person long line.
Yeah.
In the winter, so hot chocolate, that. 30 person long line. It was Margarita was there.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Margarita, and that had to be it. It was just me and her that night.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is okay. Which wasn't that bad. I was experienced enough. It wasn't early. I was experienced enough to, like, you know, do it. But it would have to be, I was at the back of the line, denying customers like we usually do,
mm-hmm.
saying, "Hey, it's time. We got to go." Yeah. It was already 10, you know, 10:30. It was time to go, and I was denying customers. This one gentleman was like, hey, I just need water. I just need water. He kept saying that. I was like, sir, I already denied about 20 other customers. It wouldn't be fair if I let you get in the line. We're actually closing up. These are our last customers for that. Oh, come on, man. It's just water.
My gosh. I know this
the whole bad thing of us being the only ones open there was exactly that. Skatering was open. They had to be selling something, hot chocolate, because they do sell hot chocolate at the skatering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
So, I mean, they sell water too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't cross my mind at that time. And I was like, sorry, sir. Can't help you. You know, I've already denied. Wouldn't be fair. And he goes around to the front of the kiosk, which is about, you know, 20 feet away because of the 30-person long line.
Yeah.
He goes to Margarita, starts complaining to her. And she eyes me, and I see her. She sees me looking at her. And I said, no, I've already denied him. And she understood what was happening right then and there. She turned to him. She said, sorry, sir, we cannot help you. Man, this guy went off. Once she told him that, this guy went off. And he saw me shake my head at her and him. And he goes, fuck you. Man, fuck you, dude. And don't get me wrong. This is before I had a car and everything. This is when I was 17.
Oh.
16 or 17, sounds but like I had enough experience to know what I was doing. I closed everything correctly. I could work that whole thing by myself, right?
Yeah.
Except the 30 long person. I really can't work it by myself. But he's like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. And the weird thing about me being 17 was I looked 20-something when I was 17. And it's reversing on me now. I'm 20-something and I'm starting to look, you know, I still look young, which is great. This is perfect. But I was 17, underage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's cussing at me. And he comes up to me, and he's like, pinche chulo, right? Like, he has a white shirt, right? And he has kids behind him.
Yeah.
He starts walking real fast to me. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I told him, and I'm scared. I've never fought anybody, right?
Yeah.
I never had the chance to fight anybody. And I said, I wish you would. I'm 17 years old. You'll get double time if you put your hands on me. And I said that. And he backed off.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's probably the smartest shit I've ever said in my life. like, goddamn, my heart was racing.
Oh, I bet.
You know, like, I play Call of Duty Warzone, and like, you don't know where the fuck the fuckers is, right? But no, dude, my heart was racing, dude. My God, that was probably the worst day for me.
Yeah.
Or the best experience. That's all I have to say.
See, like, for me, it was hard for me because no matter how old I was still tall and big.
Yes.
So everybody came after me, and they came after me, or they were like, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna walk away. I don't know how this dude is.
Dude.
I bet.
Crazy. That ain't fair, man. I'm short as fuck.
What are you, about like 4'11"?
4'11"? Yeah, 4'11" and 2 inches. No, that ain't right. 2 inches shorter than that, no.
So, like, speaking of just, you know, witty and just talking and just doing, like, just pretty much talking, trash talking,
a lot
of Angrazafi coffee, especially when you enter in the kitchen.
Dom walks in, what a bitch. that easy. His whole day's fucking ruined.
I walk in, and then all of a sudden, I just see Matthew. Or if we have Matthew or Fernando, your friend, together in one room, that's it. I already know what's going to happen. I already know what the discussions are going to be.
The great thing about a family-owned business is that when you include people, when you bring people in, they kind of get the feeling that this is like a no-holds-bar, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, free environment space, you know, mm-hmm. but no one's really going to have a problem with each other. So mm-hmm. where we get away with this really easily, where we can just have fun and make the job enjoyable while we're working.
Oh, yeah. The talking smack, actually working together in the jobs, especially Star Furniture, even though we were expected, 1,000 customers. Yeah. And yet we still made an enjoyable time while we were there, you know, working at Star Furniture.
We were getting paid, you know, so.
Yeah, so.
Might as well have fun doing it.
But it's simply like, usually our job is very stressful because if you're especially dealing with a lot of customers,
could be stressful, yeah. Not just a lot of customers, you know, when you have a solo job. I remember I had 3 solo jobs one day and I had my truck and I was gone all day. I had all 3 setups ready to go
mm-hmm.
and I had 3 bars, 3 different times. And it's stressful to find the place, get allocated where we're at and find the time, the client, all that stuff.
It's a pretty stressful job, but we always make sure that everybody was having fun while we were doing it. It wasn't like all these other corporations, like the job that I'm working at, Kroger's.
Yeah.
It's very stressful. Everybody is high alert, high everything. Like, they're all focused, extremely focused, but they don't learn how to just, you know, kid around, joke around, you know,
yeah.
have fun and everything like that instead of being extremely professional.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I walked into the manager's office. I'm, like, doing a little sneaking and, like, but he could see me, but I'm like, doing, like, a little soft footsteps. And then he just looked at me. And, like, what are you doing? This is not professional. And I'm like, I'm just trying to have fun here. But, you know, that was the great thing about the job at Grazafi Coffee, but mainly the trash talking.
Yeah.
Carlita.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, he'll come in here and there, you know, throw in his trash talking here and there.
Yeah.
Me, I just blow up all of a sudden. I have those days where I'm just like, I start talking crap for no reason. Everybody is just, you know, having fun, like, especially Carlita with all of his sayings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, goddamn it.
Yeah, Carlita is notorious for that. That's crazy.
If you say that in Grazafi Coffee, we already, like, you know, we already know what's going on.
Yeah, our whole little culture.
Yeah. We have a whole culture in front of it. You know, the catering jobs were fun. You know, I mean, doing it by yourself was also extremely fun as well, too, especially meeting the new people that's in the businesses.
Yeah, it's so much freedom, you know, and,
It was laid back.
You had to stay responsible, and I was thrown in a few situations where I had to think outside the box and get shit done, because at the end of the day, it's the client that needs the servings,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can get our money. So, instances where I forgot half my setup, like, was like the machine, like, I forgot a whole grinder, like, what do I do then, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I always say that to, like, new people that come to the company, just to give an example of, like, hey, it's not all over, there's some options out there, you
mm-hmm.
know. So
I remember my experience when I kept messing up was I keep forgetting the coolers.
Oh my god.
I was like studying for the final exams for college, and then I just kept forgetting a full thing of coolers with milk and ice.
Yeah.
And then Nick would take a picture and say, "Hey, who left the cooler?"
Bruh.
And I said, "It's me." He said, "No, you're joking, right?" And I was like, "Oh man, hell yeah, no, I'm not joking. I messed up."
Worst one I ever did was I was given a wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really my fault, but I, you know, tried to mend it, but it was. I went to Bush, near Bush Intercontinental, which is outside the Beltway 8.
Yeah.
About 30 minute drive from the kitchen. And the actual address was in Katy, which is a hole on the other side of Houston. So that was another 30 minutes. And I called the lady. I'm like, hey, ma'am, there's nobody here. I'm not sure where I need to be. And she's all like, well, here, let me give you my address, see if this one works.
Mm-hmm.
She put in the address, put Google Maps, Katy. And I'm like, no fucking way. And I was like, ma'am, I'm going to have to call you back. Call Nick. He sees it. He's like, son of a bitch. Forgot to flip him. Forgot to flip some addresses around in the schedule. And I was given the wrong schedule. So, was it my fault? No. So here I am hauling ass to Katy. And this lady is losing her fucking mind. I give her, you know, some slack because her whole theme on the coffee was a coffee house. Her theme was coffee house.
Yeah.
And she didn't have coffee there.
Oh, yeah.
So. And the funny thing is, she also had the crepe man there. There's a crepe man that does our farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the shortest Irish dude you ever met. Shorter than me. This motherfucker is 4'11". Let me tell you. This motherfucker is 4'11". And he looks at me. He knows me because he knows me from the farmer's market. And he's all like, ooh, you fucked up. And I was like, and I said, shut the fuck up. And I was like, I went, set it up, served her as much as I could. Obviously, it was for free at that point.
Yeah.
And we gave her half off in the next one she ordered.
Your boyfriend just quit his job.
He walks in and starts talking crap already. Welcome, Lorenzo, to the podcast. But I think I remember vividly when me and you were working at Discovery Green. I was getting texts by Alex and Nick saying, I need these lids for the catering job tomorrow. And remember me and you were like, oh, man, like they were like saying that we need two things of sleeves of lids or something like that. I walked into the Discovery Green Grove where we keep all of our stuff. And I said, there's no lids in here. Even though I saw the lids are right there and I know. And I told him, I said, there's a 20 count of lids. And they're all like, oh, no, don't worry about it. And then the next morning, we went to do a catering job. And you pulled me aside and said, hey, Dom, no, I saw the lids up there too. And I said, yeah, I texted on the text message. And then I got yelled at big time by Nick because I said there was 20 counts of lids, even though it wasn't my fault, because I said there was 20 counts of lids.
Yeah, just instances of like...
And the whole entire time, y'all were just picking on me.
Oh, yeah, I remember I picked on you. When did I pick... There was one thing, and I'm like, son of a bitch, Dom. There had to be one thing. I can't remember it now. That's not even bad. I'll tell you one bad thing, man. Oh, God. All right, hold up. Let me tell you one bad thing. Let's see. Dom fucking up a car. Let's say that. That was the biggest thing. So Dom is at my brother's house. He falls in his, you know, 3-foot ditch, right? He just, you know, falls in there. Carlita is there, and he's like, holy shit, motherfucker, right? You know, like, he's like, son of a bitch, you know, fuck you, dude, you know. He's going off. He's trying to... Carlita, I saw a picture of him trying to pick up the car, and I was like, that's fucking retarded. I was like, no, fucking way. What are you trying to pick up a car? But yeah, Dom falling into a ditch, and then...
I had a lot of...
other shit.
There was the reason why I fell in the ditch, because the brake hose was, busted, so I couldn't brake. So as soon as I went back, and I was like... oh shit, I'm too close to the ditch. So I tried to brake, but I couldn't. I was like, shit. So I fell into the ditch. And then Carlita looks at me, and he looks at Nick and looks at me. He's like, Nick was all the way in the back, and he's like, come on, let's go. Let's try to get your car back up. And then all of a sudden, Nick walks in. He said, yeah. What the fuck are you doing?
I would have to say, like, Dom and backing up a car, no, those aren't too... not too good things to go.
The Fernando incident. I put the dent into the
Volkswagen. Oh boxer. My fucking God.
Backing up with a car is not my expertise, okay?
Yeah. So yeah, whenever Dom needed to back up the van, I was like, hey, get the fuck out. Let me do this part.
Bro, I saw that video of you getting loaded.
Loaded?
Yeah, bro. At the Christmas party?
Oh!
I was all like, this motherfucker ain't telling me that I got loaded on weed or something. I was like, I don't smoke. Oh, dude. So that was the worst, like, year of my fucking life, I would have to say. That was a whole girl incident, right? You talking about that one? Or are you talking about the recent Christmas party
when you were got really drunk and I'm recording the whole thing the whole entire time and you were
There's two Christmas parties that both got drunk at them. You got to tell me which one.
At Nick's house.
They were both at Nick's house.
Oh, my God.
Wait, hold on. So,
2019? Recent.
Okay, so that was the good one. 2018 was the bad one.
Right? Yeah.
If we're talking about the 2019
one. Tell me about both.
He's interested.
You talking about 2018?
Yeah.
No. Because you asked about 2019. I'll tell you about 2019. I got loaded. I started dancing. Dude, me drunk dancing is the best thing ever, man. That's the best thing ever.
I have it all recorded, too. He was yelling at me the whole entire time. He says, this is not going to get you famous, Dominic. And I was like...
It isn't, man. Like, look at me.
I was like, no, I'm having it just to have memories so I can look back at it and make fun of him.
Dude, Jesus Christ. There were so many blanks, you know, like so many, how do you say it? Like, me not realizing what's happening, then me realizing what's happening after I watch a video, you know? Like my Fernando, like an hour after it happened, showed me a video of him carrying Nick. And I'm like, when the fuck did that happen? He was like, you are looking at us, cheering us on. And I was like, that did not happen. I don't remember any of that. And
I remember I was recording. Or no, I wasn't recording. I was actually just standing there watching and laughing. And you grabbed onto my jacket and said, I'm in one of those moments. Realizing that you're in those moments, but you don't know that you're in the moment.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Man, I threw up that night too, like a little bitch. But I wasn't a little bitch because I was like, oh, bro, that felt great. You know, like I'm ready to drink some more. But nah, shit, that was crazy.
What's it called? You went up to Alex. You didn't see him for the whole party. You remember this one. You said you remember this one. You were in the middle of the song and then you called him.
Oh, Yewa! I called him a Yewa. If you don't know, if non Spanish speakers, Yewa is a female horse. Yewa is a female horse, and I'm usually the caballo, so you know what that means. caballo and Yewa. That's the entire Gazafi coffee right there.
Yeah, Yewa, it was big. It was big. I didn't catch on until later on, and I started saying it. But then you looked at Alex. You, like, turned around, and you said, Pinche Yewa! In the middle of the...
Pinche Yewa. Oh, we were listening to Bohemian Rhapsody. Da, 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 da. We're listening to Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. And there's that one part where he ends the lyrics and he's like, I forget what he says, but I said, Pinche Yewa, you know? And it goes into that next part of the song.
You were very emotional in that song.
But 2018 was fucked. I was crying my eyes out, you know, because I was with a girl that didn't fucking love me, right? Dude, it was insane.
Oh, no.
But, That's a story for another time. not for a podcast.
Not for a podcast. All right, we'll be right back with these messages. That was our sponsor for this podcast. So we're going to go ahead and go into the next segment, and that is your business. What is it called? Gino's Business, is right?
Gino's Customs.
Gino's Customs.
Yeah.
And why you call it Gino's Customs?
Well, first of all, because nobody knows how to pronounce Medellin. That's right. That's the first thing, right? But Gino's my middle name, and it just sounds cool, I guess.
Mm. And what do you do in that business?
So right now, I'm customizing like controllers and PlayStation 4s right now. I'm including Xbox controllers soon, and right now I'm doing a MLB series where I'm repainting controllers, applying decals, and epoxying them, getting them a good finish.
Okay.
So I got a couple of them out there. I got the Rangers, Boston Red Sox, Houston Astros. That's what I've been doing. When I order my epoxy, I bought a gallon for $100 because it's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But Walmart, you know, being Walmart, sent me 2 gallons for $100.
Oh, really?
They accidentally sent me an extra gallon, which I have no problem with.
I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with that.
And so I have a bunch of extra epoxy, so I'm thinking about doing some molds here pretty soon. I think it's really popular on Etsy, and seeing other people do it. They've been getting like 700 sales a month, and they're making Bitcoin, so I think I'm going to get into that pretty soon.
So what's the difference between your business to everybody else's business?
The difference is, I would say more personalization. I can direct message every client, you know. Mm-hmm. So Etsy allows you to do that, and Etsy is a great platform for anybody who wants to start selling like small, like, you know, trinkets, stuff like that. And my reasonable price, I got it pretty low, you know. Calculated everything, you know. I'm still making a small profit, but my reasonable price is different from everybody's than their $150, $200 custom controllers.
Is it like $40 or something like that?
Controllers are $60.
Oh, okay.
I put about, you know, I'd say a good 3 hours into one controller. Mm. But I'm also doing other controllers.
Okay.
And, just those are the differences, I would say.
And you're enjoying it really much?
Yeah, it's fun. Sometimes I buy broken controllers and I sell them for really cheap. I buy them $20 on Letgo and I sell them for $45, refurbish, paint, and fix the insides, you know. Sometimes the shockers, which are the things that make your controller vibrate. Sometimes the wires are disconnected, so I soldered them with some metal and I put it right back on there.
Okay.
So it's like miniature welding, I guess.
So like, you have any other ideas that's coming up? Like any other, like, I guess, a series that you're going to be doing for the custom controllers?
So right now the MLB series is a thing, but I had this idea to do a poop controller. I only say poop because it's going to be a brown. There's nothing that's going to be a poop about it, but like, it's going to be a brown controller, and I'm thinking about doing Cactus Jack, which is Travis Scott, his little thing he's got going on. I'm a huge, huge fan of Travis Scott, and I'm thinking about doing a brown controller with a Cactus Jack decal and selling that, see how that goes. I think that's going to be pretty popular if I can get it rolling.
So what was the most, the most items, not items, but the most pricey thing that you sold on that?
So the recent one I sold was a full PS4 setup.
Yeah.
So brand new hard drive. This one was a Hydro Dip, which is pretty popular. Which is I'll spray paint the entire shell of the PS4, and then I'll dip it into water that has spray paint on top to get this like marble looking, hydro dip looking stuff. And then I did a controller that would match with it, had all the cords, and I shipped it. It was about 10 pounds, so the shipping price is a little up there, but that was about a $300 value.
And that's pretty cheap for customized PS4.
Yeah, it is pretty cheap. I'm surprised somebody bought it. I just threw it up there just so I can have items. Surprised somebody bought it because PS5 is coming out. So
yeah.
And I did buy a PS4 Slim off somebody, and I thought it was funny how they thought the guy said, "Hey, I took off my hard drive, by the way." So there wasn't a hard drive in there. So I was like, "Okay, well, give me a $20 discount since I'm gonna have to buy a new hard drive." He's like, "Yeah, that's fine." So I bought his PS4 for $90, and then. He's like, "Yeah, I took off my hard drive because the new PS5 is going to come out in November, and I'm just going to stick it in there, and I'm going to play my old games." I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's cool." So I grab it, I buy it, and I'm driving home, and I'm like, "Wait a minute. The PS5 doesn't have hard drives."
No.
And like, the PlayStation 5, the whole thing about it is that it's going to go off an SSD, which is a different type of hard drive. It's a... it stands for... I forgot what it's called, but it's not a hard drive. It's standard or solid state drive. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no moving parts in it. And a hard drive is a disk that moves. And I thought it was funny that he's going to put his hard drive in his PS5 that's not going to have a slot for his hard drive. So I thought that was hilarious.
So are you going to be able to buy multiple PS5s when it comes out to be able to...
Probably not. Those fuckers are going high. So I'll probably be doing the controllers first.
Okay.
So buying brand new controllers and...
Which the controllers are probably going to be really expensive in the first place.
Yeah, they're going to be expensive when they first come out. But that means I'll be able to sell them expensive.
Because
people are going to be... get the new controller and they're automatically going to go start looking for customizations.
Yeah, instead skins. Of getting the black and the blue ones and stuff.
I hate skins with all my life, which are they're just stickers that you slap on controllers and PS4s just to have it. I never liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It erodes, it comes off soon.
Mm-hmm.
This is glass that I'm putting on top of basically. It's a hard finish. It's not going to wear it for 4 years.
Okay.
That's if, you know, you still play your PS4 for 4 years, which I highly doubt, but, you know, you buy it.
So the next one is that, you know, your story of being in high school and going straight to college and everything like that is very interesting. Like, you went to South Houston.
Yeah.
Wasn't you number two?
No, not number two. I was number 15 out of, like, 650.
Oh, well, still, that's pretty impressive.
That's I was pretty excited.
And then you said that you got a... You went to apply Texas and you went straight into Houston and then they said they accept you and then you're just like, yeah, crap that, I'm gonna...
I'm glad you remember that. The one thing I highly, I guess, regret about applying for college and scholarships is that I didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a good situation right now. University of Houston's a great school. I feel like I had a lot more opportunities that I just did not, you know, search for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a 1250 on my SAT. I thought that was good enough. I applied University of Houston. They automatically accepted me.
Mm-hmm.
They also gave me an academic excellence scholarship for being, you know, top 3% in my high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that as being, you know, all right. So I just stopped there. I wish I applied elsewhere,
mm-hmm,
just to apply, you know.
Mm-hmm. To see your options.
Yeah, you know, I have my options. The money was the biggest concern for me. But then again, I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Mm.
So I went in the worst study possible, which is exploratory studies, which basically means I don't have a major.
Mm.
So I didn't have a major for my first semester. Went to business for my second semester.
Wasn't it entrepreneurship? That's when you...
I went into finance. Well, basically, the way Bauer works at University of Houston is that you go into a pre-business program and then select your field of study, which it could be MIS, finance, entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm,
accounting, it could be any of that. I was going to go on the finance track. I was talking to, you know, all these finance people that I got to meet every day with Gruzoff and Coffee, you know, at the, you know, all these wholesalers and stuff, but did not like it. Mm. I found that I don't care about money.
You don't care about money?
I care about the numbers. I like the math, but I don't care about money.
Mm. And now, what are you studying right now?
Computer science.
Computer science.
Which is...
I heard it's very difficult.
It's very difficult. That shit is hard. But it's going well.
But are you also going to community college as well, too, to get an associate's degree?
No. So I'm at the point where I have, since my first year was basically getting all my cores out of the way,
mm-hmm,
I have no cores left.
Mm.
So everything have to be straight from the University of Houston at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the reason why you have an ID with San Jack? Was it because you were?
It was the last core I needed.
Okay.
I was getting out of that business program, and they told me, "Hey, we know you have calculus credit from high school. We know you took BC calculus in high school, but we cannot accept that because we need math now." You know, so they made me take pre-cal. They made me take pre-cal, which is a little under calculus. I took pre-cal and calculus in high school, and they said, all right, you need to go get a pre-cal credit because we can't accept your high school. And I was like, all right, that's fine. So I took pre-cal in the summer, calculus, and then I did calculus 1 and 2. I just got done with calculus 2, so I'm going to calculus 3 this upcoming semester.
And the interesting thing, because I remember first coming in to Gruzoff & Coffee, and I remember discussing, we were just talking about school and everything like that, and then you showed me physics calculus, I believe that's what you showed me.
So it's called university physics. So there's two different types of physics. There's that physics that you took in 11th grade,
mm-hmm,
which is algebra-based physics.
Which I never took it.
algebra-based physics, and then there's university physics, which is calculus-based physics. So this is based on derivatives and all of that. I just finished physics 1, university physics. I did take physics 1 back in high school, but I was not prepared, did not do well, so I didn't pass the test. So mm-hmm, there's AP test, I got a 2 on it, which is not passing. And I retook it this time and I got a B, so pretty mm-hmm excited I got a B in the class. And I won't be taking physics 2 this semester coming up. I'll be taking physics 2 spring semester next year.
And you're you gotta take physics
to get my associate's degree?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be algebra based physics, most likely, if you're going for an associate's.
Okay, because for my athletic training degree, I had to get, like, I think 3 sciences, and one of them has to be physics.
Oof. See, for me right now, I'm taking business classes, and...
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, even though I didn't do so well last semester. But I still took the break that I needed because I was still overwhelmed from my junior and my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
You know, taking AP classes. And it was new for me taking AP classes in my junior and senior year because I was forced to. I went to junior year. I'm thinking, oh, I'm just going to take U.S. history and everything like that. And then, boom, they put me into AP U.S. history.
But one of the weirdest things about my plan is I don't have anatomy and physiology. It's not a requisite.
Really?
Literally.
To be an
athletic trainer, I don't have to take anatomy and physiology. It makes no sense, but okay.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I would like for a sports medicine or sports medicine doctor to tell me, you know, actually know the bodies.
I would rather take anatomy and physiology than physics, to be honest.
That makes more sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I was going through this intense pressure that my first year of college was so much for me because I was still mentally tired. Physically I'm not tired because I'm still going to work every single day and I'm doing great and I'm being energetic, but mentally my mind was so fogged and that you know, that I didn't do so well my first two semesters. I mean, I passed my first semester, but not my second one, though. But, you know, still, it was very hard for me because...
I find being overwhelmed helps me.
Really?
In the weirdest way. I've reversed, like, the whole... I've watched a couple videos on this, but basically, everyone's kind of viewing stress as a problem, you know. Mm-hmm. don't stress out, you know, you need to calm down, you know, stress, you know, leads to like heart attacks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I find it kind of funny because, like, you know, the best basketball players, best baseball players are the most stressed.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best performers because they are the most stressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're able to play under pressure. Able to do it under pressure, and that was the thing.
Yeah,
I kept doing that to myself to a point I tired myself out because I was good at being under pressure because I played basketball all the time. I work at a coffee shop that is nothing but pressure applied to you because you have to deal with customers and you have to make coffee while at the same time.
So yeah, before Corona,
mm-hmm.
which is a common saying now.
Yeah,
before Corona, my first 3 months of my second semester was jam-packed, schedule full, like completely full.
Mm-hmm.
I had no time to like do anything, you mm-hmm. know. And I found that my best grades were coming out during that time.
Really?
You know, mm-hmm. I was on top. I was like, all right, I gotta do this, right? And I would stay at school, which is at U of H, was about 15 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live on campus. I would stay on school until I got everything I needed done that day. Because I know when I get home, I'm not doing shit.
Yeah, you're just going to go play video games.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Which is fair. When you go home, that's home, you know?
You don't want to work at home. You don't want to do that work.
Yeah. So I'm... So right now, I'm in this Air Force program. I told you about it before.
Yeah.
So I'm there at 5 a.m. to work out with them. And I don't leave until 8:30 p.m. because that's my last class.
Mm.
So I'm there for 14 hours at school.
Ooh, yeah.
And then if I had homework, I'm gonna stay there until I get it done. So maybe I was coming home at 10:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is great at a certain extent.
I think for me is it kind of like it was a culture shock for me to be in college, I guess you can say. If for me it was like I wasn't expecting it that much. I wasn't expecting how hard it was until, you know, coming after the second semester, I kind of like, I guess, got used to it and realized, okay, this is what I got to do. Because I think because that's what I did my freshman year of high school. I did terrible my freshman year of high school because moving from middle school to high school is a whole different animal. And just for me be able to adapt, I guess, you know, that was very important. Not important, but very big for me to be able to adapt. And I always mess up my first time because I sucked at basketball my freshman year. But then I gotten better ever since, you know, because I got used to it and adapt. And I realized, oh, so I have to work out this many times a day to get better. Or I got to work on this skills and get repetition from this to get better at that. And I guess that's about what I am.
I mean, speaking of basketball, there's a basketball hoop right there.
Y'all funny, man. Y'all are so funny. My short ass versus y'all tall motherfuckers.
Hey, I don't forget when you talk shit.
That's fine.
You every day you're like, I'm gonna break your ankles, Dominic. And then that one day that Fernando was like, not Fernando, it was Jesus from Discovery Green, rung a dodgeball and say, duke it
out.
That's
a dodgeball, dude. What am I supposed to do with the dodgeball? Like, it's like trying, it's like saying, all right, hey, we're gonna play baseball together, and then bringing a fucking softball. Like, you expect me to like throw my hardest with a softball? But it's big.
Yeah. But it was hilarious because we were doing nothing, and we're like, you know what? Might as well. And I gave you the ball first.
I was like, hell nah. I tried.
I locked him down.
I tried. Yeah, I tried.
And then I got the ball again, and then I just threw it right between his legs, and I get right past him and everything like that. So
that's fine. That's fine.
But then he starts talking crap that I won't be able to be, won't be able to play baseball, saying that if we were able to play baseball, he would whoop me in baseball.
If you throw a strike, that's if you can't hit the box. So okay. If you could throw a strike, mm-hmm. that ball is out of the, off the fence, like it's gone. Does not matter what angle you're coming at. I know you don't know curveballs or fastball breaking balls. I know you don't know all that, but you throw a ball at me.
I know some of them.
It's going far.
I know some throws.
I know some throws too.
I know some throws.
Yeah, man.
Once I hit it, it's gone. You know that.
I still got my arm. I could, I mean, home plate over the fence. I could throw it.
I wish we were able to play softball. Huh?
We all have arms.
Bro, I got arms, bro. I might not be able to throw a football in a perfect spiral.
Oh, no, that stuff is wobbly as hell.
Yeah, my shit wobbly, but like, oh, that sounds funny. My shit wobbly. my football throw would be wobbly, but my baseball throw, fucking arrow. Gone.
Wish y'all see. But I wish we kind of played that softball game, because they were discussing at the Grisafi Coffee, they were saying that we were going to face off Bohemios in softball.
I wish. That would be fun. One thing I always wanted to do with the company was paintball.
Oh, man. We were supposed to paintball, weren't we? And then
love paintball.
And then we just decided not to, huh?
Or girls didn't want to do it, which is understandable.
Yeah, because y'all decided, they decided to go to the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't come.
I thought it was cool that we went to the pool, and we all went. It was fun.
I couldn't swim, so that's the reason why I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. But if it was paintball, I would have went. I would definitely went. All right, so you're a big Astros fan.
Oh, yeah.
Huge Astros
fan. I got a lot of shit to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
I got to defend them.
But the first thing, in the Houston Astros versus Washington Nationals incident with you and Fernando. What happened there?
So, I'm diehard. Okay, this is obviously before the Astros got caught with the cheating scandal. So, we're going against the Nationals. Game maybe 6 or 5, because we played all 7 games. We got beat the last game, Washington Nationals 2019 World Series champions. In that story, during the series, there's a couple of players on the Washington Nationals that I know their names for a couple of reasons, and the reasons are they were hitting homers off of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the series was tied up 3-3. They won the series 4-3 with the 7th game, the last game.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one main guy, I think he's from the Dominican Republic, because they're all from the Dominican Republic, and his name's Soto.
Yeah.
And
I remember
he's only
this.
21.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking insane. So my friend Fernando, who's not a baseball fan, if anything, he's a fan of Tigres, which is a soccer, you know.
He's a big soccer fan, but he likes to irritate you. That's what he likes.
So he's watching the series, and he decides to go on Twitter. He doesn't at me on it, but he decides to go on Twitter and say, Soto the motherfucking goat. So everybody kind of knows what that means. You know, Soto's like the best, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in a fucking series with, like, we're about to win this series, right?
Yeah.
You know? And he goes and he decides to say, Soto's the motherfucking goat. Right when we fucking lose it, right? Right when we lose it. And he does not like baseball. He does not watch baseball. And he decides to root for the Washington Nationals, a Houston-born person decides to root for the Washington Nationals just for the sake of pissing me the fuck off. I fucked up my wrist that night from hitting my wall so much. Well, it wasn't my wall. It was my punching bag that I have in the garage that's just sitting there. I fucked up my wrist. I didn't wrap them. I just started fucking going how I met him. And my wrist hurt for a month after that. And it was just bad because I was still doing Air Force workouts and I still had to do push-ups and shit. And it shit hurt. And it was insane. I basically sprained both my wrists. Like, but I didn't do anything about it because, you know, it was fine. Like,
I heard that he was not allowed to be at the house for a long time.
My mom said that. Yeah. I didn't say that. I told her about it and she's like, what the fuck did he say? And this is my mom that has Astros, like, 2017 World Champions in the living room. We have a World Series ticket from the World Series, 2017 World Series, in the living room, hanged up. There's Astros everywhere. Astros pillows.
I've been in your house. It's a lot of Astro stuff. Dude. Especially you showed us the replica of the Astros?
We have all. So basically, before they went back to Orange, we have bobbleheads from, you know, from when, you know, Astro tickets were $15 back in like 2008.
Yeah.
You know, like we have so much shit. That's like how diehard we were, and we finally got our World Series 2017. Whatever people say, that how we got it, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's your thoughts. But I was about to say, the next one was your thoughts on the season scandal.
So when I heard about it, I was dead ass, like, heartbroken. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You know? And I was like, son of a bitch, I got to root for another team. I was considering rooting for LA Dodgers from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what kept me with the Astros. This is what kept me with the Astros. I don't think it's right that they cheated. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's right that they cheated. You know, the baseball, I love baseball. You know, I love teams. You know, I like the Dodgers. I like the Astros. I do love baseball more. And when it came down to, like, you had to choose, you know, I did choose the Astros. And it's for this reason only. Everybody fucking cheats. And that's what's going to come out. So there's
they went out to other teams and they're like, oh yeah, they cheated. The Boston Red Sox, I think, cheated and won the series. And then they were like saying the Yankees was cheating.
The only reason why the Red Sox won 2018 was because they cheated.
Yeah.
They won the World Series 2018. They knocked us out, I think, the third series because we went up against them. They knocked us out and they kept knocking people out. And they won the entire, out of fucking nowhere. They didn't have a chance 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a chance 2017. They came out of nowhere. 2018, all of a sudden, wins the World Series.
Yeah.
And what happened 2019? They were fucking dead last.
Oh, yeah.
Why? They couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, you know, they weren't going to cheat for a second year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like the Patriots.
So, this is what I think. And the one team I hate right now is the Yankees. Fuck mm-hmm. the Yankees. I say it with all my heart.
Didn't they take Cole 45 from y'all?
I could give a fuck, but the Yankees, with all my heart, are the worst fan base, and that's a
oh,
fact.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they are the worst fan base ever. We played against them 2019. We knocked them out, right? Like we did every fucking year.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where we were cheating or not. 2019, where we were definitely not cheating.
Yeah.
And we knocked them out. But they have the audacity, you know, to trash talk us once we started banging on trash cans in 2017. Whatever, I don't give a fuck. They are the worst fan base ever.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this video, and I followed this guy. He was wearing an Astros jersey in the Yankee Stadium. Popcorn thrown on him. Beer in his face thrown on him. Everyone screaming, fuck you. The police actually had to go down there and grab him out from his seat. A paying customer, right?
Yeah.
Had to grab him out of his seat just for his security. And that's fucking retarded. And that's the New York Yankees for you.
Oh, yeah.
I will not wear an Astros jersey to LA because I'd get shot the minute I walk off the plane because of 2017. But Yankees are the worst fan base ever. And if I had to compare the Yankees cheating scandals versus the Astros cheating scandals, the Astros cheating scandal is as thick as a comic book. The Yankees cheating scandal is a fucking holy Bible. I was about to say that. It's a fucking holy Bible. And the only reason why they have so much cover is because it happened in 2020.
Yeah.
They released it. Actually, it was 2019 when they released the cheating scandal. But it is 2020. Their cheating scandals happened in 2005, you know? They didn't have fucking Twitter. Mm-hmm. They didn't have all this shit where I had to see it every fucking day. Astros cheated, right?
Yeah.
And I had to see it every day back in 2005. And they didn't give a fuck then either. Fucking yeah. A-Rod did steroids like a motherfucker, right? Mm-hmm. And they had no reason to be like, oh yeah, this is bad. No, they fucking loved it, you know.
I remember when the Texans lost, and you put it on the group chat of our work group chat, said, wouldn't be the Astros.
Oh yeah, because we won our World Series. Yeah.
And no. When we lost recently, when we went and blew out and got blown out, and you're like, haha, not the Astros. Wouldn't be the Astros.
You gotta give me some credit because these coaches are. I mean, we've been searching for our star quarterback for how many years?
Oh yeah.
But I mean, look at these coaches. Who do we just trade?
DeAndre.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, why would you do that? But he's not gonna make the team. That not one person's gonna make the team.
Yeah.
We have what?
It's like
three speed receivers. We have just straight speed.
It's like y'all losing the signing to was it Garrett Cole, right? That's his name.
Yeah. God bless him. He hates the Yankees. He plays for the Yankees right now. When he got there for spring training, they were cussing him the fuck out, like in the stadium.
And like
that's their fan base. Just letting you know.
And you were saying that or not you were saying, but it's like Garrett Cole. You know, going to the Yankees. It's not that whole pitcher is not going to make the whole entire team.
No, he was a God gifted pitcher.
Yeah,
you know he was like no denying it. He's an amazing pitcher, but yeah, you're right. Not one person's going to make the team.
But I remember him texting. He was texting. He said, it "Wouldn't be the Astros, right?"
Yeah.
The next day, they came out with the Houston Astros cheating scandal. Yeah.
And I shut the fuck up.
I was the first person to send that on the group chat. I said, what happened there?
I mean, you gotta look at it. Like, I had no idea that this was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fucking idea I would have not known. And that is just some bullshit. And I'm like, I looked at that fucking article that day, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, why? Like, just why, you know?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
So... pretty much, I think that's pretty much what we covered for the Astros, huh? Pretty much. You have anything going off of your chest right now about the Astros?
Yeah, fuck the Yankees. With all my heart, just fuck the Yankees. Worst fan base ever. You go look at videos of Garrett Cole pitching in the bullpen and Yankees fans cussing him the fuck out the entire time there. And they also made him fucking shave his beard and get a haircut, which made him look like a fucking rat. He looks disgusting. He had long hair and a beard and he looked great. Because that's what we do in Houston. We have beards everywhere. We got Harden. We got everybody. We got Keuchel. All beards.
Yeah. So this next one is about what's supposed to happen for you, Xander, was the workout competition with Nick.
That workout competition is not going to happen. I'm just letting you know. Okay. There's no fucking way I'm going to win. Why would I try, you know? I mean, I just got to say.
Because Nick was saying, okay, if you do CrossFit with me, then I'll do your workout. Right, Xander? And you said you were going to do track workouts, which I know for facts.
I mean, I've been active for a good, 3 weeks now, coming off of the semester. You give me a couple more weeks to get into, shape, then I'll do your workout. I don't want it to be competition because I'm losing. I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose. I don't care what it is, but I'll do your workout. I'll do it with you, you know. You can motivate me. You think I'm going to motivate you? Fuck no. You can motivate me.
I ain't motivating you either.
You know, put some Krispy Kreme. Nah, fuck Krispy Kreme. I hate Krispy Kreme. yeah, man, I'll definitely do it. Like, give me a couple weeks, man. Bring me back on the podcast and we'll talk about the workout.
Like, what was your warm-up?
Warm-up, you ran in and outs. So you jog the straightaway and walk the curves. It's a mile. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in, you run your 400, which is one lap. And then you run 800, 1,000, 1,600, and 1,600 again. And then it was 1,000, 800, 400, and you run that mile again.
That's running?
That's running.
Easy. I was just kidding. Nah. Definitely, yeah. That sounds cool. I'll have to get back into running because I'm doing just home workouts right now. But
and didn't you do CrossFit with Nick?
I did CrossFit for Nick for summer. First CrossFit day, I threw the fuck up. I did try. I'll put my heart out there. You know, yeah, I'll try. Right. But yeah, that wasn't a good day. But after a month, I started getting into the groove and it was going.
It was easy.
Yeah, but what wasn't easy was the price. It was a fucking $100 a month. I couldn't do that anymore, for a while. Yeah.
So, would you think he would be able to handle the CrossFit workouts?
Eventually. You know, I mean, looking at you, yeah. Looking at you, just saying, yeah. Okay. Looking at me, you could say no. But give me 6 days of CrossFit, then I'll be okay. Yeah. It's just conditioning. Mm-hmm. You just got to get used to it. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You can't just do CrossFit one day, expect to be, you know, what you were maybe a year ago. That's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah,
Even though you're the same weight, same height, everything could be fine. You need a condition. Like, your respiratory is not what it was, you know, all that. And that's true with it for me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's true for me right now. Yeah. I'm barely getting back into it.
Well, actually, if you actually do it the proper way of conditioning is actually, like, stretching your heart out, making it where it's actually conditioned to run. You can run no matter how big you get, no matter how tall you get. You can run for days.
Anybody can do it.
But you won't be as fast as you used to be.
No, no.
Like, for me, like, I used to play basketball a lot. But I conditioned myself right to where now I can still be able to play the length of a full basketball game, but I'm not as fast as I used to be.
I cannot play the length of a basketball game. Great thing about baseball and playing baseball is you don't really need a condition, you know?
You got fat people playing.
Yeah, you do. And my mom told me in Little League, she said, because I was chunky in Little League, and she told me, You see, if you hit the ball with a fucking finch, you don't have to run. That's what she told me. My mom's a diehard baseball fan.
Oh, yeah.
And she told me, if you hit the ball with a finch, you do not have to run. And I'm like, that makes so much sense, you know? I could just walk, you know, walk the bases. And, you know, that's what I did a couple times when I hit home runs, you know, walk the bases. But baseball gave me my home plate to first base, constantly hauling ass to first base. Mm-hmm. And for a good, you know, 10 seconds, I could haul ass. I could do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could haul ass.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we were talking about miles. That's why.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
We gotta get 100-meter race in, too.
I did the last, because I was working out with the Air Force back in spring break. My fastest was a 9-minute mile and a half.
Ooh. A mile and a half?
Took me 6 months to get there. 9-minute mile and a half.
Oh, for mile and a half.
Yeah, so that's almost a 6.5, no, like 5.
Last time I ran a mile,
my best ever was about 2 years ago, which is a 6:30 mile. Oh, it was fucking unbelievable. My fucking, you know, the stitches. I got stitches everywhere, left, right, everywhere.
Dude, yeah,
that shit hurted. And I couldn't believe I did it. And I was like gasping for air. I ran a 6:30 mile, and it was fucking unbelievable. And it was kind of funny at the time because one of my friends. One of the girls that I like, that she was dating another guy, but she was talking to me, you know. Mm-hmm. I just kept it low key, right?
Mm-hmm.
She thought it was incredible that I could run a 6:30, you know, being the shape I am, you know, not too skinny, not too fat. But her skinny ass boyfriend couldn't run a 9-minute mile. And he's taller than me, has bigger strides than me, and he couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
And that's funny. That's proof to me that said that I could do anything that I put my mind to.
Oh, yeah.
As long as I condition and put the work in, and that's what happened.
I think for me that they kind of
I can't
realized,
do it right now.
I think for me that kind of realized that I was able to do whatever I want, that as long as I put my mind to it, was basketball. Being starting off freshman B team, working my way up to JV, sitting on the bench saying, "Don't touch the court. You're not going to touch the court." And my coach was the biggest you know, part of my life for that too. But and simply just telling me, all right, look, you're going to be the leader of the team the next year. And then just kind of because he just saw how hard I worked and how hard that I kind of just carried myself to be the best and try to be the best at basketball and everything.
So my freshman year was football for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was fullback on A team for freshmen because we had a freshman. And then I was getting positioned to play varsity my sophomore year
because mm-hmm.
they already needed me as a fullback for varsity. And when I played those 12 games, you know, South Houston being South Houston, you know, us sucking. I'm not saying we're good because we suck. We couldn't win a football game to fucking save our lives. And when I was playing and we'd run the ball because nobody knew how to throw the fucking ball, right? We'd run the ball. And
same with Tech City.
Who's hauling ass through the fucking line, me, fullback, you know, with the fucking ball and getting hammered every fucking play, right?
Yeah.
And that me trying to condition with that was terrible
games, halfway, halftime, fuck me. I was already dying, you know. Halftime, yeah. I was dying, you know. Because we would do the same. We would run the routes, you know. Fucking linemen couldn't block for shit. And I was lineman my intermediate, my 7th and 8th grade year. And it was funny because I was big like everybody else. 7th and 8th grade, I was big like everybody else. I was O-line. And it was funny because once we got to high school, everybody kept getting bigger. And I stayed the same. Like, I got skinny. I got super skinny. That was the year I decided to stop drinking Coke. And I lost, like, 25 pounds. It was fucking amazing. And I got skinny. And then that was that. All my O-line, they're like, bro, what happened? You know, like, you didn't get big. And I was like, no, I just stayed there. And they're like, all right, well, we got the position for you. You're fullback. And the only reason why I got fullback was because they put me on fullback position during a scrimmage. And I knocked the shit out of one kid. And then I was fullback for the rest of the year. And that was pretty cool. But football is not my sport. The intensity is at a level where the intensity you need is so high up there. I could have never gotten up there. Never got there. I could never have gotten up there.
Oh yeah, we have some football players right now that's inside the building. You saw Lorenzo.
Yeah.
He used to play O-line.
And I could not get that into that intensity.
You saw the kid walk out, check out, and then went back in the room. He played cornerback when he was in Texas City. And
oh, okay.
So, but you know, all of us had like at least like I mean he they played football. And me and my brother plays basketball. And
yeah.
I guess since me, Lorenzo, and Chris is out of sports, we're trying to give him as much as advice right here.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
To my right.
That's good.
As you can for sports in general.
And I might not even be playing basketball.
Oh yeah.
Because of college.
But yeah, man. Baseball is such like baseball is so great because it's got art to it, you know. Like, like the pitching and the batting, and that's kind of where I lie.
Because
you don't need too much intensity, you know. You just gotta do what you need to do, you know. So I kind of like that sport.
And the thing is that everybody has their meaning behind their sport. Like you,
yeah.
You know, you see the art behind baseball. Yeah. I can't.
I miss knocking the fuck out of people. I do. I really do. Yeah, I legally to knock the shit out of somebody. That's what my coach told me. He's like, this is the only time in your life you have these 4 years to knock the shit out of somebody legally.
Legally.
And
yeah.
I was like,
wow.
That makes so much sense. But I never could have gotten there. Yeah. But
you can see the art for baseball, and I can't. But I mean, you probably can't see the art in basketball. Like
I see the art. I love the Rockets, dude. I watch a good enough basketball to know that there's a fucking art, dude. When they go up for fucking layups and they do all that bullshit, or they go up for a dunk and they do all that bullshit,
yeah.
Through the legs over, or what's that one? The one I saw on TikTok. It's like a fucking lose the ball but regain it because he throws it up 360 and smacks it right back in there.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit's
yeah.
insane. That's an art.
But you could see that. You could see that.
Football has an art too.
But
I just can't imagine that intensity level.
Yeah, but in basketball, it's more.
I'm better at football than basketball.
Yeah, run a straight line. Don't get hit.
Yeah,
it's perfect. Yeah.
But the thing about basketball is that you don't actually some of them you don't really see the art of it like. The beauty of footwork or the beauty of the fadeaway jump shots and you know the just simply just knowing your play right then and there instead of you know football where you look at a playbook, oh this is what you're doing and everything like that, all right go do that. It's more of a reaction.
You gotta remember signals and stuff like that.
You gotta remember signals quickly or basketball is more of a reaction game because you get the ball in your hand. There's no playbook where there's somebody's blocking for you. There, it's you and the defender, and you got to do it. You got to do what your repetition is, and you probably see that a lot with baseball. That you
know, there's a lot of repetition in baseball, definitely. You know,
and especially a big art in baseball too.
You know, missing a ball costs a game. You know, just that simple.
Yeah.
You know, if you hit the ball too high up there and it doesn't go over the fence, you're out, right? You know. You'd think that'd be better, but no. Ball needs to fall down, needs to hit the ground, you know, get on first base, get on second. Keep the
best thing before a home
it's
run.
It's also mentality.
The best thing
I think that's with
a
every
home
sport.
Run is a line drive. Line drives are probably the best.
Well, yeah. Getting on base is always the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get on base, you've done your job. If you don't, it's fine. They used to make pitchers bat. Pitchers don't bat. They don't hit balls for shit.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to make pitchers bat. And it was kind of funny just to see him just like swing that ball and just strike out.
Isn't that what they did with the?
They don't do it anymore.
They don't do it anymore.
Their shoulder and stuff like that. You gotta think. Their AC joint, there is moving all the time. So
some of the best pitchers are conditioned and throwing 90 pitches for the game.
Yeah.
And if they're really good, they'd probably only have to throw 70 pitches in the game. Like, if a pitcher throws 70 pitches and he ends the game, we're probably one of the best pitchers ever.
Mm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But you got some that throw 90 for a whole game because it's a good team against a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they got to get thrown out. You know.
Yeah.
Save that arm.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I believe that's pretty much it for everything. I had some questions for, you know, Fernando, if he was going to come by, which
Let me answer them. Let's see. Fernando, since you're not here, I'm answering on your behalf.
You. Okay, his Whataburger experience.
His Whataburger experience. So Whataburger was basically a bunch of Southeast kids, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know Southeast, they're a bunch of tacuaches, right? And they all worked at Whataburger because, you know, Whataburger is cool and it's Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was flipping burgers. He was that guy. He was flipping burgers. And they did a bunch of fuck shit. I know that. I mean, you had some kids smoking weed in the fridge.
Wow.
Uh-huh, what? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But they always got away with it. I mean, if the manager obviously saw him, they put a stop to it. I'm not trying to dish on Whataburger's name.
Oh, yeah.
But Whataburger, it happens. If you're listening to Whataburger, maybe they can be our next sponsor.
Oh.
And, they would get they would go fight in the parking lot. Fernando wouldn't fight, but, like, you know, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really like it to a certain extent. And I pulled him out of there, giving him a job with Grizzoffi.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Nadia, who was, you know, assistant manager. And I pulled her out of there for Grizzoffi, too. Don't get me wrong. You think pulling her out of assistant manager is a bad thing? It's not. She was only getting paid $11, and we started paying her
$12. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so eventually we started paying y'all $12. So, like, you know, it was better for her.
Yeah, I was the low man on the total pole.
What?
I was getting paid $11.
Well, I don't know. Were you paying paid 11? I was getting paid 13 and a half.
I was getting paid.
I don't know about you fuckers. I was getting paid 13 and a half.
You paid 8?
Yeah, man. Because, I mean, I think it's fair. It's only a dollar, you know. I think it's fair, but because any of y'all motherfuckers, anything went wrong, I was there to save your asses. So.
Except for Discovery Green, because I'm always there.
Fuck Discovery Green.
It was when we mess up at catering, Matthew's there. When we mess up in Discovery Green, I'm always there, or it's Nick.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to claim me as a manager.
Yeah.
Quote unquote at Discovery Green. But I was training everybody from Discovery Green and then sending them out to the catering, and then he had to go train them for catering. So, you know, that's terrible for the Whataburger incidents, huh?
Yeah.
So, good thing that, you know, that I heard Nadia is now a security, right?
Yeah, she's got a new job. She's doing pretty good for herself right now.
I heard that was it. Ira that was the one that put her on. You know Ira, right? Ira Brown?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the one that put her on.
Yeah, he helped her out with that.
Which that's a good thing. She was able to find a job during all this, you know, crisis.
Yeah, man,
and stuff
I've,
like that.
I've already applied to 6 different.
And haven't gotten on anymore.
I applied to 3 different UPS jobs.
Oh, man.
Amazon.
All that coffee experience and none of it to go for a UPS job.
I applied to Domino's. I was going to go with it. And they...
should go apply at Art of Coffee.
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I want a different experience. Like, I've had 4 years of coffee experience. Unless it's some high-end shit. If it's some high-end shit, I'll do it. Because I know there's a bunch of, like, cafes that are supposed to be opening up, but they just haven't because of Corona.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, like, top chefs that these are their restaurants. And
mm-hmm.
they want a barista there that knows their shit
mm-hmm.
and can, make you know, win over customers. And I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I got my art. I got... all the experience. I don't know if I have my art still, because, I mean, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
But,
the water.
Huh?
The water.
Oh, man, from the party. From the Christmas party. You brought me over. You grabbed 2 glasses of water.
Yeah.
And then you said, look.
That's how you practice.
Yeah, but still, it's still funny.
You gotta have an imagination.
It's still funny as hell, though.
Yeah.
But, no, like, I didn't really start my, art until, like, the last bit before the spring break happened. I started getting really into the coffee art.
I was gunning for it. The moment I got to work for Nick in 2015, I was gunning to do it. Once I saw it happen in front of my face with one of my coworkers doing it, I was like, what the fuck? And I was dumbstruck, right? And yeah. I was like, I'm gonna do it. 2 months later, I had hearts. And then about 3 months later, Rosetta's. And I gunned, it looked shit, and I kept working every mm-hmm. time, getting 2 lattes in per job. Mm-hmm. And man, I finally got it, and now I do dogs, cats, snowmans, Rosettas, triple hearts,
elephants.
Oh yeah, elephants. Swans. Oh, swans. I love the swans. Swans pretty hard. But yeah.
Yeah, he showed me that, and I'm like, what the
fuck? I loved it. And it, the best part besides posting it on like Instagram and shit, you know, shit ton of likes, was handing it to the person.
Oh man.
And them being like, what the fuck, right? And them like, mind blown, because it's the first time they were ever given one of these, right?
Yeah.
And it just amazes me to see that. And I do it like every fucking day. Yeah. And it's so cool how I can make that day.
I think that was the one thing that I actually could take away a lot is the customer experience. I mean, yeah, we had a lot of horrible customers and a lot of funny.
I think it was my last day. Remember that? There was a whole guy, had a cat on his shoulder. He said... He's touching people. He's like, you've been blessed by Jesus Christ himself. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, hell no, man. Ignore those hands, man.
Yeah. So, and they try to stop him, and they're like, you can't stop me. And I was like, you were touching little kids saying you were being blessed by Jesus.
Yeah, that's kind of...
that's kind of illegal.
He's like, if you touch me, it's assault.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, no, I think, you know, the one thing...
Okay, the same day... We were just, you know, working. We were, you know, minding our own business. We didn't even see this. There's this person taking pictures of, like, kids. And then all you see is sudden, like, security.
That shit happens a lot.
We didn't see it. We were just busy. We were working. We didn't see it. Everybody was, the security escorted them out, I think, arrested them or something. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It was a wild day. There's another thing that happened on that day. It was with the security as well. There were people skating. And they're like, they took their boards.
Oh, shit, for real?
Yeah, they took their boards.
That is crazy.
And they tried getting it back. One person, he tried, you know, going to that, in the office that they, you know, work in, and, you know, try stealing the boards back.
Yeah, they tried to sneak in. The roll down was open, and they looked in the roll down. And then I went on the walkie-talkie, hey, Ricardo, you got the skater dudes up there, you know, right by the roll down. And you see big old Ricardo, Jesus's brother, walk right there like this, looking like a, what is it, the Marshmallow Puff from Ghostbusters.
That's crazy.
And it walks right in front of it, and they're all like, oh, we were just trying to find a bathroom. And he was like, mm-hmm. And then they just walk away, and then... After they got their boards back, they just skated off. They're like, if I see y'all doing tricks on the skateboards, then we're taking them away. And then they just like, yeah, fuck you. And then they just skated off.
Damn.
The police officer.
And then like, that, everything that I just said happened in one day. That happened in like a span of like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, my last day was like wild.
But that was the one thing that I kind of took away from Grizzoffy Coffee was the customer service.
Yeah.
But when I go to Kroger's now, they don't know how to... Even the store, the managers, like, I'm clickless. So the manager of clickless doesn't know how to talk to customers. They just know how to, I guess, say a few things like what they were taught and not be able to break it off and talk to the customers and see how their day is and everything like that. They would just go out to it. Oh, this is your price. Do you need a? You have a paper coupon? No. Okay. And then they were scripted to do it.
Yeah.
But for me, it was always like every time I walk in the aisle, I'm like, hey, how's y'all day? And then they would be like, oh, it's okay, it's good. And then if they would say they're picking out pancakes, I was like, oh, so y'all trying to get breakfast now, huh? And then they start talking about why they're getting pancakes, because, you know, simply just because I learned from customer services. Talking to, you know, other people at the catering jobs and everything like that.
Yeah, I find the more awkward situations and uncomfortable situations that you put yourself in, the more you get out of it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like a certain job, you think like, oh, I don't want to deal with people and all the snap, just try it. It might be the best thing that you ever experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Right now, I don't want to deal with people. I'm trying to find a job that does not deal with people. And I can honestly say that because I've had my fair share of it. You know, like, I want to get away, you know. But if it comes down to it, I could start somewhere and they'd be like, okay, hey, we need you to talk to people, you know, and all this and that. And I'll be like, yeah, no problem. I'll talk to people and like I've been there for years. And they say, hey, how long have you been working here? I was like, oh, I just started. And they'd be like, what the fuck?
That's what they were saying up there at Kroger's. They're like, how long have you been working here? And I said, man,
like a week.
I've only been working for a week. And they're like, how the hell are you able to talk to customers like that?
Yes. And I said, this is because we got a lot from it. Yeah.
And being a person that, you know, I like to talk to people. I like to see their other days because you get a lot of positive moments from talking to customers. But then you also get your negatives. But those are the positives is more than the negatives.
Yeah.
I mean, especially you make good relationships with, let's say, I mean, we work at Discovery Green. We make great relationships with the workers that are in Discovery Green. Yeah. They help us out. They did everything. And then we also get a lot of positive reviews because of how kind we are to other customers. Mm-hmm. Also, while that, the manager for Discovery Green was like helping us out getting customers, say they're the nicest people, you should go over there, they have a great coffee and everything like that.
Yep.
So, you know, for me, especially doing the great customer experience, like everybody in Kroger's hate their job, hate dealing with customers. You could tell they're like, ugh, I don't want to deal with them.
Yeah, it's just I like that saying, like, you didn't wake up to be mediocre.
Yeah.
You didn't wake up today to be mediocre. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I think about once in a while. Obviously, I don't think about that. I'm fucking unemployed, losing money. Like, you know, like, I shaved my head for Corona, you know, and now I have a weird-ass hair, you know, it's everywhere.
And I always make fun of his receding hairline.
It's not receding. I'm just Italian. I'm just Italian. I just have a huge widow's peak. My widow's peak is like 2 inches. For anybody trying to imagine it, I'm just Italian. It's not receding. It's not going anywhere. Motherfuckers.
He would always make fun of my buzz cut.
No. You know what? I've always made fun of, and everybody on this podcast, if I say this, that's the only thing they're going to think about. If I say this, they're okay. Is your high ass voice and your big ass body?
Oh my god!
Because you would think I'd be the big guy talking to you on this radio, but no, I'm the small guy.
We're complete opposites at this point.
Oh my god!
I got a high voice.
Yeah, like everybody was like, I thought you were gonna be like, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, what's up?
Oh yeah, because you're talking normal right now because we're just here. But your customer service voice, holy shit,
that changed after a while. Yeah, you know,
I think
that
I seen a meme or whatever. It's like your customer voice went to Harvard. It's like I'm from the hood, but like my customer voice went from the Harvard. Like that stuff is funny.
That is funny.
It's true.
It's crazy.
It went. True. God changed it after you were drunk and you're like, man, fuck that shit. Talk like you're from Texas City and shit.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
And you were drunk giving me advice, and I'm just sitting there thinking, damn, he is right.
Oh, my God.
But I used to talk like, hi, how can I help you from Grizzoppy Coffee and everything like that. And they're all like, what the fuck? Yeah. But then after I started saying, what's up? And they're like, okay, all right. Yeah, that sounds like Dominic now. But, yeah, no, that oh, my God, that high pitch.
I got it too. Don't worry. Yeah, I got it too. It's just
mine. You know. Mine. A lot of people didn't think. You know.
You have a high voice. It's not like you got the highest of the highest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think that's pretty much it, huh? That's all. We went all through everything, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we usually do this at the end of. At the end of our podcast, and we discuss on. What is your song of the day today?
Song of the day. It's 4:20 right now. Why? It's cool. Song of the day. Let me look at my saved.
I got mine already. It's Kendrick Lamar. All right. Today is the song of the day for me. Definitely. Especially what's going on.
So I've been vibing pretty recently. And I have a really fucking cool song. Kind of a meme song if you look for it. It's called My Tears Are Becoming a Sea, M83. Yeah, a lot of people know M83. But that's a good song. I've been listening to it again recently. I've always heard of it, but I've been listening to it again recently. Mm-hmm. It gets me in my feels. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the song.
And what type of music they make?
I would say it was like more, it's heavy synth. It's not rap, you know, it's very like dramatic. Mm. It could be in a movie. you know. So. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of music. You know, I grew up in band and all that shit. And, so I really like that music.
And what's yours?
Amy? It's probably gotta be, it's by Polo G, Flex by Polo G.
Okay. All right. I mean,
what's yours?
Mine, I already said it was Kendrick Lamar. All right. The reason why I picked that song is because one, it's a pretty good song, to my honest opinion. But also, what's going on with the George Floyd incident? It talks about it a lot on.
They just did a service in Houston today.
They did?
Yeah. Wow. It went from 10 a.m. to like 3 p.m. Like it lasted a long time.
Wasn't
he from Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yates High School.
Really?
Yates High School. Yeah, I think. Don't quote me. Pretty sure he went for the Yates.
Okay.
But football star, yeah, gunned down. Yeah.
Dang.
Wow. All right. That's pretty much it.
All right.
That's pretty much it of the podcast. Got any plugs for you? Like Instagram, your Instagram, any like your businesses?
I say just Instagram. You can go look up my latte art if you want. It's Gino's, how you spell it, _64. Okay. Yeah.
And don't you have a TikTok?
You don't got to worry about that. Y'all don't want to go follow my TikTok. It's fine.
All right, y'all. Catch y'all next Tuesday.